certainly glad to see this good number present tonight. And by way of repetition of the lessons for tomorrow, I would like to say in the morning at the Bible study hour, we'll be talking about some problems in the home. And then at the worship hour, we'll be speaking of the husband and wife relationship. And tomorrow evening, the Lord willing, we will conclude with the subject, the parent-child relationship. Tonight, I want to talk to you about something a little different in the realm of edification, that we might bolster and lend support to the fine spirit that already prevails here tonight, and the interest that you have shown, and many of you have come quite a distance to be here with us tonight, and certainly that is very fine, and it's appreciated, I'm sure, by all. And I know of nothing that we need to concentrate on anymore than faithfulness to the Lord in every facet of our lives. We are made sad on occasions when we learn of those whom we have baptized into Christ and they have lived a while faithful to the Lord, only to learn at some later date they have fallen away. They are no longer faithful to God. The writer John said that he had no greater joy than to learn and to know that his children walk in faith and in harmony with God's will. And certainly those who preach the gospel as well as others, they go from place to place in doing so and sometimes discover brethren that they have baptized, people they've baptized many years before, and find them doing quite well and they're faithful. And it's good to know this, and it's very uplifting to know that there are those who can and who will obey the Lord and remain faithful to Him. And certainly we need to emphasize this again and again. Wherever we go, the necessity of being faithful to God. It is not enough, brethren, to go and to convert people to Christ and baptize them into the Lord. We must do that, of course. And that's what the Great Commission authorizes us to do. But I'm afraid that very often we leave them at the edge of the baptistry, as it were, and that we do not follow through. I recall the Great Commission emphasizes two things. In Matthew's account, he says, "Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This sentiment is reflected also in Mark 16:15-16. But in Matthew's account, he says something else. He says, teaching them, that is the ones to whom we have gone and to whom we have preached the gospel and who have responded and have been baptized, he says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. Teach them something more. Teach them something else. Teach them how to practice the things that God would have them to do day by day. Teach them that Christianity is a daily matter. Teach them that every day, all day long, every hour, that we must be faithful to God as faithful as we can be. And wherein we stumble and wherein we fall, we need to get right back up and ask the Lord to forgive us and go on from there. And we need to emphasize this. We have people who have been in the church for years and years and years, and they are still babes in Christ as far as spiritual development is concerned. And this ought not so to be. And it need not be. If each person would realize what it means to be a Christian, and they would also understand what God requires of them day by day. But we must teach them that. And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to prove that Christ is risen from the dead. And therefore, lends hope to each of us of the grand and glorious resurrection at the last day. The righteous to go unto the Lord and the unrighteous to condemnation. He gives proof after proof that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And refutes every argument that is raised by the gainsayers that the resurrection is past or that it will not be at all. Or that there is no resurrection of the dead. Having done this and showing toward the end of the chapter a mockery of death and saying, O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? He goes into a statement that I want to emphasize to you now. Having said all of this, he says, therefore. And when he says therefore, he means I have said a great deal up to this point, and I'm going to draw the line and add up the column. Therefore denotes a conclusion about to be stated. And he says, therefore, all this being true, all of these things that we have said about there being a resurrection, about death being overcome in victory, about the kingdom being turned back over to God, that God might be all in all. All of this being said and done, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he leaves us in no doubt as to whom he is speaking. He is speaking to his brethren, and he loves his brethren. And he says, their beloved brethren. It's a term of endearment. And he says, my beloved brethren. Conclusion. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. This word steadfast and the word faithfulness are so close together that they may well be synonyms one of the other. To be steadfast means to stand fast. To be steadfast means to be loyal. To be steadfast means to be faithful and true to someone, somebody, or something. And in this context, it is necessarily inferred that this faithfulness, this steadfastness is to be unto God. Be faithful to God. Be steadfast. This is in contrast to the spirit of many who waver. To be steadfast removes the idea of wavering and doubt and skepticism. The person who has two minds and not the single-minded man or the single-hearted man that's set forth in Acts 2 when it said the brethren did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This singleness of heart simply means they had but one purpose. And brethren, when we have one purpose, when we all have one goal, it's the same goal, and that is to go to heaven and to serve God faithfully from day to day and take just as many people with us as we can. Now, let me tell you, it'll move us to greater service. It'll cause us to sit up and take notice. It'll cause us to stand up and be counted. It'll cause us to grow a strong backbone, and we stand up with conviction for truth. Wherever and whenever the devil rears his head. He said, be steadfast. Be ye steadfast. You be steadfast, brethren. My beloved brethren. Then he moves to another word that deserves consideration. He says, be ye unmovable. The idea is be ye is with unmovable as well as with steadfast. Be ye unmovable. Every little child in here knows the song. The wise man built his house on the rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. There's not a one in here but what knows that. And sometimes I tell you, we adults need to learn these songs. How many of you could say the books of the Bible if you didn't run the tune over in your mind that you heard the kids say? It may be that we need to get down to the simple basics again, and that's the best way to learn, isn't it? Well, he said, be unmovable. Now, I have seen some people that were unmovable, but not in the sense that this teaches. I was talking to a man in North Carolina one time, talking to his mother sitting on the porch, and she was interested in the gospel, and I was talking to her, and I believe we were getting somewhere, and around the corner came her son of about 50, 60 years old, and the old bachelor. Fella decided he just run it on out, and after you talked to him a little while, you saw why he was running it on out. He couldn't find him about having. Well, he was unmovable. It was easy to find in just a few minutes that this man was unmovable. He was a primitive Baptist. But that's not what he called himself. I'm telling you that that's what he was as far as religion goes. But you know what he said? I talked to him a little while. He didn't like the idea I was trying to convert his mother. And he said, "What?" I kind of got him in a little bind there with the scripture. And he said, "You can't do anything with me. I'm a hard shell." Well, I said, "You said it. I didn't." Now, you see, and I'm sure he was just about right. And there's people that way that you can't shake them loose from error. You can't do a thing in the world with them. You can try and they'll mock you and they'll jeer and they'll turn away. And the gospel has been preached to them and you put the ball in their court though. You preach the gospel to them and you transfer the responsibility. And that's what the Lord expects us to do. I hear too many people worry, "How many have you baptized?" Rather than, "How many have you taught?" Now, I believe it's the Lord that brings forth the increase. We're counting noggins. Down our way, that means heads. We're keeping statistics. We're marking down four and running one through it, and that's five. And Paul said that one plants, another waters, and God gives an increase, and the soil's not fertile, it isn't going to bring forth anything. But you're going to have to sow a lot of seed in order to find the good soil. And when we've sowed that seed, and we've done the best of our ability, we don't baptize 2 a year, we have transferred the responsibility to the alien sinner. He will answer to God for having rejected the gospel. And we shake the dust off our feet, and we move on to the next person, and we teach him. See? We didn't put all our eggs in one basket. I read when Paul went to a town and they wouldn't have him and kicked him out and threw him up on the city limit sign and said, "Get on out of here," and thought he was dead, hoped he was dead. He got up and he said, "I've got to go get me a Valium." Now, is that what it says? You know that's not what it says. He said, "I think I'm fixing to have a nervous breakdown." That's not what Paul said. Paul had a backbone. Paul knew one thing. I went in there. I preached the truth. I told it like it was. The Lord revealed to me what to say, and I said it. And they wouldn't have it. And he said, "I'll never sleep another day in my life." That's not what he said. He said, "Come on, let's go over there and see if they'll listen." See? Try the next place. Maybe they won't be so unmovable. Now, that's the wrong kind of unmovableness. When a person is on error, he needs to move to a position of truth. But let me tell you, when you're on truth, don't you move. That's what he said. Be ye unmovable. When you're on a position of truth, there's no reason to move. There is every reason to stay. In fact, we had better stay or we will be lost eternally. He said, be ye unmovable. Over in Ephesians 4, it talks about not being carried about with every wind of doctrine and believe everything that comes along, whether it's in the Word of God or not. Why, I tell you, a lot of brethren are like an old collie dog. Some collie dogs are not a bit of good except for a pet.
because they jump up on everybody that comes in the yard. And if he's hauling off the furniture, he'll wag his tail while he's doing it. Now I'm telling you, that kind of a dog is all right for a pet, but he isn't all right for a watchdog. Because, you see, he's friends with everybody. Now, there's some people you can try to be friends with, and it isn't going to work. And if you try to be friends with them, you may go to the point where it's friendship with the world, and that's enmity with God. So we need to be unmovable on truth. We need to stand on truth. We need to speak the truth in love. Find out what truth is, where it is, what God has said. Stand firm there. And that's that rock foundation that's being talked about in the scripture. And we build our house on it. Why, I was utterly amazed at Morehead City, North Carolina, when a hurricane came through there and like it blew us all away. And the eye of the thing right across. And I had been over there to Atlantic Beach and ridden up and down Emerald Isle so and watched it. Just looking at the water, so pretty, and people had houses built out there. I mean expensive houses, on the sand. And the hurricane blew them all down and washed some of them out in the edge of the ocean. And it didn't teach them any sense. You know what they were doing? They were getting ready to build it right back on the sand. Some people never learn, you see. But Jesus said, build your house on the rock. He's talking about the rock foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he is the one who died for our sins. And we're justified by faith in him, which incorporates every act of obedience that faith demands. And he says, you do it, and you stand on this rock, and you'll be all right. The psalmist said, Jehovah is my rock. And he is. We need to learn where safety is. We need to learn where refuge is. We need to learn where security is to be found. Be unmovable on truth. Don't move from it, brethren. Too many of the brethren are moving away from truth. I think they've been reading the wrong thing. I think they've been drinking out of the cesspools of error instead of from the water of life, the fountain of truth. And as a result, it is no wonder that they're moving on out and away from the Lord and the church of the Lord. Because they are being tossed about and to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along, and like the collie dog, they believe everything they hear, whether or not it's right or wrong. So he says, you be steadfast, you be unmovable. And notice something else here. And he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Now, if I understand abounding, it has to do with overflow. As much as you can and then some more. Jesus said, talk of good measure. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over. You ever buy something at a roadside stand? You ever stop and buy some strawberries and the big ones are all on top? And you get home and dump them out and the little wiggly, wormy things are in the bottom? And you thought it was that way all the way through? That's not good measure, even though it was heaped up. They put the big ones there to fool you. And you said, they're probably all like that. Now let me tell you, and he says always abounding, when we have the spirit of overflow in service to God, you won't say, how much should I give? You won't say, how many services should I attend? You won't say, how much must I do? You will say, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. Let me tell you who to ask if you want something done in the church. The busiest man in the church or woman. And that's the one who'll do it.
here's somebody that's not doing anything but twiddling their thumbs anyway and sitting off in the bleachers calling the shots, but they don't know how to play the game, or they won't play the game. That kind of person won't do anything you ask them to do. They're not doing anything already, and that's their pattern. So the busier you get, the more you want to get busy. I like Cracker Jacks. Do you? I've liked them all my life. As one childish fad, I never got rid of. They had that sailor boy on the box, and it used to say, it doesn't say it anymore, but it used to say, the more you eat, the more you want. And I declare it's the truth. And I hear people say, I don't get anything out of the singing. Well, just sing. I don't get anything out of the service. Put something into it. I don't get anything out of this, and I don't like to be around church people. You must be up to some meanness. Why don't you like to be around people that believe what you claim you believe? Why had you rather be with somebody else? See what I'm saying? We're getting down here to grassroots, aren't we? Down here on the ground where we're standing. All right, he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He didn't say run along in patches. He said always abounding. In what? The work of the Lord. Not whatever you take a notion to do, but whatever God takes a notion for you to do, you abound in it, and that's the work of the Lord. He said, you abound in it, and you always abound in it. And he said, I tell you what, it won't be in vain. It won't be in vain. He said, for as much as you know, no doubt about it, you know, for as much as you know that what? Your labor is not in vain. Where? In the Lord. When you are in Jesus Christ and you serve Him, you are steadfast, and when you are unmovable, and when you always abound in the work of the Lord, you have the full assurance. You know, you can say it's absolutely the case that it's not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, let us be faithful.